And once again, we are excited to present to you Brother Stephen Orell, who is our great youth leader and soon to be father. And I say soon by faith because that child, that baby is showing some great patience, church. He was supposed to be here a week ago. He's about a week late. So we hope that he'll be here very, very soon. With that said, Brother Stephen Orell, I'm turning it over to you, sir.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Vic. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Appreciate Brother Vic, all that you're doing with all the devotions and helping pastor out. Thank God for Brother Vic. I've really been enjoying all the devotions, all the testimonies and devotions that have been given in the morning and at night. Recently, Brother Tulox really touched me. Never heard his full testimony before, but absolutely amazing. God is so good to us. Where we are in life, it's amazing to hear people's testimonies of God's mercy. Amen. I want to talk for just a few moments about the story of David and Saul. We all know the story of David and Saul, and David in particular. You know, we've heard the stories of David and Goliath, and how a young man slaying the lion and slaying the bear and slaying Goliath, and how God used him to be king over Israel. I want to focus on particularly the small segment in the Bible in 1 Samuel about David and Saul and the peculiar relationship that he had with Saul. And we know that Saul was the original and first king of Israel. I mean, before that, we know there was just judges, Samuel being the last judge, and God calling Saul out. And we know that he was head and shoulders over above every man. But somewhere along the line, he got discouraged. Somewhere along the line, he got jealous over David. And we know that it was an interesting relationship between David and Saul, that Saul loved David, David loved Saul. But the jealousy overruled at some point the love that Saul had for David. And I want to talk for a few moments about what do you do when someone throws a spear at you? And you might say, man, I'm going to pick up that spear and throw it right back. I'm not talking about a physical spear, though in the story, Saul did throw a spear at David many times. In his throne room. But what do we do, church, when someone throws emotional spears at us, mentally spears at us, words at us that hurt us, and they might not pierce us directly or physically like a normal spear would, but they hurt. And it's tempting. It's tempting. I can't say that every time someone has thrown a spear at me that I was perfect and didn't throw it back. Those times that I have picked up that spear and thrown it right back and gave someone a piece of my mind. But what do we do, church, when someone throws a spear at us? It's tempting. It's tempting to throw it back. And I want to focus on this, that even if we have a right, even if we feel justified to throw that spear back, I want to talk about what the Bible says. And so we're going to start with 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning with verse 6. Chapter 18 and verse 6, 1 Samuel. And it sets up the scene in verse 6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth and saying displeased him. And he said, I have ascribed unto David, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands, and what can he have more but the kingdom? And so I, David, from that day forward. Verse 10, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And this would happen various times with Saul. The spirit would get upon him, and he was wroth, and no one could calm him down. And a couple chapters before, David was called in many times, and he would play his harp. And it was the only thing that can calm Saul. And here we see this happening again. In verse 11, it says, and Saul cast the javelin or the spear, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence. So he threw a spear at David. And it says twice, out of his presence twice this happened. And he threw it at David. And I can just imagine, if you could picture it. Here you are, you're trying to soothe this mad king, you know, playing a harp, or in today's would be maybe a piano, trying to calm this mad king's presence. And here he goes and throws a spear at you. And it's interesting because I was looking at different commentary and their different histories in the Bible. Now this is not in the actual written word of God, but it's a orally passed down tradition that when a master, and it's kind of peculiar, when a master threw a spear at a servant, and it's interesting because it's very specific, or a slave, if the master threw a spear at a servant or a slave, and he survived the spear throw, that day he was no longer a slave, but he was a free man. And it's interesting to see that David stayed. We go on to verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely, church. He behaved himself wisely. I would have been mad. I would have been angry. I would have been, he threw a spear at me. I'm out of here. I'm running away. I'm getting out of here. I'm a free man now. I'm not indebted to him anymore. I'm out of here. I'm gone. This guy is crazy. And a lot of us would do the same thing. Maybe we would have got that spear right back and threw it at him, and we would have been jailed for it or even beheaded because of it. But David looked at that spear, left the spear, walked out, and the Bible says that he behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, or very wisely, it says, he was afraid of him. He was afraid of him. And we're going to skip over to chapter 19, and I want to start with verse 18. And this is going over another chapter, skipping some. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah. A lot happened in between here. David continually sought after, Saul continually sought after David's life. A lot of things happened. So in 18, here we have David finally fleeing and escaping. He had no other choice but to run, and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him, and he and Samuel went and dwelt in Nahor. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Nahor and Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they prophesied. And it says later on that he sent more messengers to take David, and they began to prophesy with Samuel. And then it says that even Saul himself came, rose up to meet David, and he himself prophesied with Samuel. It's kind of an interesting thing that took place. right here that all this stuff that was going on, that still the anointing of God was on Saul, and he prophesied. Chapter 20 in 1 Samuel, verse 1, it says, "And David fled from Nahon Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father and seeketh my life?'" And church, we can find our places in a place where we're seemingly do everything right, and things are just going wrong around us, and we don't know what's happening, what's going on. And we can get to a place where we just say, you know, "God, what have I done? What did I do?" And we can be looking at our past and at different past mistakes, and, "God, was it this? Did I do this wrong? Did I do that wrong? Why is this person acting this way at my life?" And we can find ourselves in a situation where there's questioning everything. And here, David is going to Jonathan and said that they were knit together, and there was a special relationship between David and Jonathan. They were close friends, and he's going to him. And in this chapter, Jonathan tells David, and he says, "If this happens, I want you to run away and flee, and I want you to get out of the city and run." And it happens that he said, I'm going to have a lad go out, a kid go out, and I'm going to shoot this arrow, and if I shoot it past the lad, I want you to run. And it takes place that he shoots the arrow, and David knows the sign. He runs for his life. If we can go to chapter 20, 1 Samuel, chapter 20, and verse 37, and it says, "And when the lad was come," and it's going over that. So let's skip over to chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 3. "And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, 'Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, that I may know God will do for me.' And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, 'Abide not in the hold, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah.' Then David departed and came into the forest of Herah." Verse 16, "And the king said, 'Thou shalt surely die, Abimelech,'" because the priest Ahimelech helped David. He went to the priest, to the priest asking for, he's running for his life, and he's asking the priest for some bread, and he asks for, "Do you have any swords? Do you have any spears?" And Ahimelech says, "I have Goliath's sword." He had it right there in the priest's house, and he took Goliath's sword. And now Saul is coming, and he's talking to Ahimelech, and hears about this, how the priest helped David. And verse 17, "The king said unto the footmen that stood about him, 'Turn and slay the priest.'" Here's Saul talking and saying, "Slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also was with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand." The soldiers said, "I'm not touching the priest of Ahimelech." And the Lord, "And the king said unto Doeg, 'Turn thou and fall upon the priest.' And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod." So here's Saul being so distraught with pursuing David that he even goes to the house of God and has the priest killed for helping David. We can turn to chapter 24 in the 1 Samuel. This is when David is hiding in the caves. Chapter 24, start with verse 1. "And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, 'Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi.' Then Saul took him 3,000 chosen men of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheep cotes by the way, and there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, And David and his men remain in the side of the cave. They're in the very cave. They're hiding in the very cave that Saul comes in to get rest. Verse 4, and the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, thou that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. David's men are telling him, David, God is delivering your enemy into your hand. And right at this point, I'm sure it's going through David's mind that he has every reason to kill Saul. He has every right and he has every reason that Saul has pursued him for years. That Saul has tried to kill him so many times unjustifiably. And there's times in our life, church, that there's going to be people that they may try to mean the best, and they know of a situation that was in our life, and they can hear different things that are going on, and they can tell us, you know what, you have every right to do this back to this person. They did you wrong. And we have to be careful who we hang around with and who our friends are. And it can be very enticing to say, you know what, yeah, you're right. That's right. And be so stirred up to act according to what they say. But then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth thy hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. He is the anointed of the Lord. And as we go further on, David confronts Saul, and he shows Saul the bottom of his skirt and says, the Lord delivered you into my hand. Your life was in my hand, Saul. I had every right to take your life, but I saved your life and I stayed my hand because you are the Lord's anointed. And we know, church, that we should never talk against the man of God. We know we should never talk against the Lord's anointed. But I have a question for all of us tonight. Who is the Lord's anointed? Do we know all the time who the Lord's anointed is? Yes, we know the man of God. Yes, we know prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. But I know that every child of God is anointed by the Lord. And God has a will for every single human being on this earth. It is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it could be so easy when going to get some food, and maybe someone messes up your order, and you have every right to say, oh, this is a wrong order. You messed up my burger. You messed up my fries. It can seem so small. But our attitude means everything. And maybe your attitude is not right. We can talk to them in a negative way with a little bit of attitude. Or bumping into someone at the grocery store. And with all the things that are going on with this COVID-19, and maybe your mask down a little bit, and someone says to you, hey, put your mask up. It's so easy to get a little frustrated during this time. It's so easy to pick up a spear when it's thrown at you and to throw it right back. With everything that's happening, It may be said that we have every right, we have every justifiable right that we can pick up a spear and we can throw it right back at our enemies. But David never threw a spear back at Saul. Even when God delivered Saul into his hand in that cave, his life was in his hands, and he saved Saul and said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. We don't know who the grocery store clerk at the store, what God is going to do for their life. That any day they can come walking through our doors, and God forbid that I talked about them, or I said, I rose up in anger for something small, something just dumb, and here they come walking through the church doors and go, oh man, ooh, hope they don't see me because I told that person off when they didn't get my burger right, or I told that person off when they told me to wear my mask or lift up my mask a little bit or do this right during this time, and we can bump shoulders against our brothers and our sisters, and we can get mad during this time. and maybe your brother, maybe a sister in the church threw a spear at you and say, wow, my brother, my sister threw a spear at me. I'm going to throw it right back at them. Oh, Jesus. David was a special man, church. He did not touch the Lord's anointed. And God has been dealing with me about just everyone in general that we pass by and we brush shoulders with, that person in the grocery store, that person at work, our coworker, they can be the Lord's next anointed. They can be the next preacher. They can be the next songwriter. They can be the next soul winner that comes walking through our doors, and they can be used mightily of God, and we can say that is the anointed of God. We don't know a little child that comes in, maybe scruffy right now, maybe not amounting to anything, but God can raise up that little boy, God can raise up that little girl and use them in a mighty way. Oh, and how be it far from me that to say that God's not going to do anything to this little boy or child. Words are powerful, church. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay. In 2 Chronicles, this story prompted David to write, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophet no harm. So I want to ask the question today, what do you do? What are we going to do when someone throws a spear at us? As we know, we're going to have a great revival, and it's coming soon. It's coming soon. It's coming soon. But the church is going to be full. The church is going to be full. And many people are going to get baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. God's revival is coming soon. And there's going to be a lot of things that happen. There's going to be a lot of things that go on. And we're going to say to ourselves, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to put my hand against my enemy, but I'm going to bless them. I'm going to say thank God for my coworker. Thank God for my family. Thank God for my friends. And it's striking to me that this was David's father-in-law that did this. And it doesn't stop there. We might say, well, David passed the test. If anyone can say that David passed the test, he passed the test with flying colors. And if anyone deserved a break, David did. But decades later, he found himself in the same situation, in the same scenario with another king. And this time, being his own son, cast David out of the kingdom, took his kingdom from him. And here we find David running again for his life as an older man, running again, this time from his very son. But his attitude was still the same, church. He said, I will not touch my anointed. And he did not lay a finger on Absalom. But Joab killed him and stabbed him under the fifth rib. And he was so mad at that, going through a second trial, he said, God, I have to go through this trial again with my family. I have to go to trial again, getting cast out and getting the spears thrown at me. He did not touch God's anointed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We love you, church. Thank you for unity. I really enjoyed all the testimonies of the Sprinkle the last time that he spoke, talking about unity. It is absolutely amazing to feel the anointing of God. Thank you for everyone that's been talking and speaking. Thank you for our pastor. We have a good church. We have a good pastor, church. Amen. I love you. Amen. Brother Vic.
Thank you, Brother Stephen Orell. You know, church, we usually pray at the very end after we make some closing statements. But you know what? With this anointing we're feeling right now, let's pray right now. Let's ask God that everything that we heard tonight, that you felt the anointing with Brother Stephen Orell speaking tonight, let's pray right now that God would allow this anointing and this message to really sink down deep inside, because there were so many powerful things we just heard. Let's pray right now, Lord Jesus. We're asking you, Lord God, for you to allow your word to do its work in us tonight. We heard the clarity in the voice of Brother Stephen Orell, and what a powerful message. Oh, but Lord, we want it to work inside of us, all of us, each and every one of us, Lord Jesus, in our minds, our hearts, our spirits. Change us, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we want to have the right spirit and the right attitude in everything we do, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Churches, I just need to say this. This was so good, very good. And if we are not careful, church, we can over-spiritualize things when all we need to do is focus on the little things, the everyday things, the practical things. Our attitude is so important, and Brother Stephen Royal brought that out in such a good manner tonight. And I want to say this on a separate note. I was going to say it before the devotion, but now I have a little more time. I want to say that I greatly appreciate Brother Stephen Orell. There is such great sincerity and genuineness of heart in him. He is the real deal, church. And what you see with him is what you get. And what you got tonight was something real and something powerful. So I want you to pray tonight. Meditate on what you heard. It's going to help you. It's going to help all of us. Someone texted me and asked me, what was that verse reference? Tell me. You know, they got a hold of this, but they want to make sure they heard it. And I want to tell everybody, read it tonight. Study it. Meditate on it. 1 Samuel chapter 19 and chapter 20. Praise God. Ooh, we're still feeling the anointing, church. With that said, we want to go ahead and remind everybody to be on this same line tomorrow morning at 10:15. We're going to hear another great testimony, devotion from Sister Roseberry tomorrow morning. Praise God. And with that said, we love you all, and be blessed, and have a great night. Praise God.